Begin the current daf, Masechet Avodah Zarah, daf Nun Vav. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues qualifying the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which identified the halacha of Yayin Nesach, which is one of the subcategories of the Isra of benefiting from Avodah Zarah, which is that we suspect, where by Stam Yenim, or we know definitely that's called Yayin Nesach, when they did a libation, when they made a movement of the wine for the purposes of serving a sacrifice to their Avodah Zarah, to their idol, that makes that wine forbidden to have any benefit from it. So on that qualified the Mishnah, when is it considered yayin, wine, because it starts off as grapes and grape juice, when does it turn into wine, that then we considered that it could become disqualified as the halacha of yayin nesach. So the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that said, ve'ein oisa yayin nesach, we cannot become and turn into, and thus be prohibited as yayin nesach, acha yerid labar, until it falls into the pit, into the cistern, as we explained in the previous stuff, where there was a wine press known as the gas, which is where they would press it, and there was a few different elements, but that was the primary idea where they would press it in this wine press, and then it would be a tzinor, a pipe that would take it from the wine press into the cistern called the pit. Only when it gets into there is it qualified as yayin. But before that, as we explained in the previous stuff, when it's still in the gas and it didn't move, then it's going to be permitted and it won't be forbidden as yayin nesach, even if a non-Jew was doing actions to these grapes. Now, on that, asks the Gemara, but Vatanya, there seems to be a contradiction in the qualification of this halacha, which is actually a Mishnah Masechtas Maisus. The Mishnah says, Yayin Mishiyakapa, when do grapes turn into wine? From when the scum, when it foments onto the top. That's when that's considered the Gemar Malacha, the conclusion of the activity, of the work of the wine, in the halacha context of Maisa. Which Maaser is only obligated to take up a tithe, 1/10 of it, to give it to the Levi, only when the production is finished. At that point, when the wine has all the sediments, goes up to the top, the peels that are not fermenting into wine, that floats up to the top, from that point on, it's forbidden to drink what's known as shtias arai, where until it was finished, the work, one could drink from it in a temporary type of a way. Now it's already finished, no one could even drink from it in a temporary way. So mishikapa is this, kafa means the term of floating. As we said, that the peels of the wine float to the top and it's resting there. So it sounds like only then it turns into wine. But when the juice flows in and it's in the pit, if it didn't flow to the top, says the Mishnah Masechtas Maisus, it's not wine yet, which contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah, which says that no, the moment it's in the pit, even though it didn't yet separate the liquid from these solids which flow to the top, it's already wine. So Amar Rabbi says, Lo kashas, not a difficulty, because Ha Rabbi Kiva, the Mishnah Masechtas Maisus is Rabbi Kiva, and Ha Rabbanan, our Mishnah over here is like Drabbanan, Tetznan, which is actually a brisa that says Yayin, when is something qualified as wine. So the Tanna Kama, the Chachamim say, which Rabbi is saying is the Tanna of our Mishnah, is Mishnah Yerid Labar. Once the liquid flows from the wine press, as they squeeze the grapes, the juice comes out through the pipe into the pit. Once it gets into the pit, it's considered wine. He says, no, it's only wine when it's in the pit and then the peels and the other things flow to the top. Only then is it considered wine, then they're totally separated. But until then, it's not. So that's the resolution. Our Mishnah is like the Chachamim and the Mishnah Masechtas Maisus is like Rabbi Kiva. On that, asks the Gemara Yibaylu, that the following question in Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Kipu Debayr, what does he mean when he says that the pieces float up to the top? Is that in the pit? Or is that maybe even a later stage? Meaning, because in the production of wine, what happens is that, yes, the grapes get pressed in the wine press, it goes down the pipe into the pit, in the cistern, and then there are sediments that flow to the top. But then additionally, when they now take wine from the pit and they put it into barrels, there again, it separates, because it's not totally fine yet, and it separates there. Which floating are we talking about? In the pit or in the barrels, which is even later? Only then is Rabbi Kiva saying it becomes wine. Let's resolve it to Tanya, which is actually quoting that same Mishnah Masechtas Maisus, which we said that is Rabbi Kiva. It says the Gemara, you could resolve it from that Mishnah itself. It says Yain Mishi Kapa, like we said, that when there's, as we're saying that that's Rabbi Kiva, when is it considered wine? From when the peels flow to the top. Continues the Mishnah. Now Afa Pisha Kafa. Now although what's in the pit had already become wine, and that's because we said the pieces flow to the top. Still, in spite of that, koilit min hagas hel yoin, if someone could catch the grape juice that's in the upper wine press and drink it, because that juice didn't yet fall into the pit yet, and therefore its work was not yet concluded, so there's no problems of maisers on that part of the juice that's pouring out. And so to even umin hatziner, even from the pipes, which is what flows from the wine press to the cistern to the pit, V'shaisa, a person go ahead and drink that because that wasn't finished. In the pit, that is already finished because they already floated to the top. But what's still coming, because they have tons and tons of grapes and the production is going on for a week, a month, and what's still flowing in, that wasn't yet finished. One could drink from that in Derech Arai. But says the Gemara, Shema Menor, we can infer from this, is keep the bur coming. Obviously, we're talking about when the pieces flow to the top of the pit. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that even though it floated in the pit, you could still catch it when it's still in the wine press. Because if we're talking about the kippur of the chavos, what does that have to do with the wine press? It's not connected at all. If we're talking about a barrel, that's when it finished wine, why would we have relevancy to say it would be problematic for the wine press? But if you say it's that of the bur, so they're really connected, it's here's the wine press, here's the pipes, and here's the cistern. And that is the chiddush, that even though the kippur of the bur happened already, still in the gas is permitted, Shema Menor, we can infer from that is that Rabbi Kiva is not so far off from the Chacham. Chacham is safe when the wine falls into the bur, into the cistern. He says, no, it's only when Mishiyakapa, but they're both talking about in the bar regarding when is it considered wine. However, the Gemara has a question on the way we just explained things. The problem is, V'atani Rav Zvid b'debei Rav Yishya. Rav Zvid taught in Yeshiva Rav Yishya, meaning in the brises of the Yeshiva Rav Yishya, that the halacha is yayin, when is it considered wine? Says the Chachamim, Sheyerid lebar v'yikapa. That it's when the wine falls into the pit and the pieces flow to the top. And Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says something even later, Mishayishala b'chavius. The word Mishayishala is from like the term Hashayla dogam on the yam, someone that pulls out fish from the sea. Seirosa means to say when someone pulls out the wine from the pit, from the cistern, to put into barrels, as the Gemara explains this opinion on Pesach Deba Metzia, Dav Tzadik Bezim and Bez, only then is it considered wine. Now the problem is this contradicts both the Chachamim and Rabbi Kiva, because we said before that the Rabban hold from when it just goes down to the pit. Yet his Bryce is quoting it as saying that the Chacham hold when it goes down to the pit and the pieces float to the top. And according to Rabbi Kiva, we had said that he holds Mishiyakapa when it floats to the top. And he was saying that that's not enough. It's not considered wine until the person comes and takes it out to put into the barrels. So says the Gemara, you're right, we could resolve the difficulty that we mentioned before based on this version of the Bryce of Zvid in a different way. You're right. Explain that previous brisa as follows, which will be in consonance with Rav Zvid's version of this brisa. He says, Yayin, the wine is, Mishayerid Labar V'yakap. I mean, we had quoted before a brisa, which we said, oh, therefore that resolves the difficulty. We had a contradiction of our Mishnah and Mishnah Meseftos Maisis. So we said, look, there's a brisa that's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan, and that's going to be the two different opinions. Our Mishnah like Rabbanan, the Mishnah Maseches Maaseh like Rabbi Kiva. And that says the Gemara, based on this brisa we just mentioned, we're going to have to resolve that brisa differently. I mean, the words of the brisa we had quoted before was the Chacham hold, wine is when it goes down to the pit. So we thought, okay, that's a Tana of our Mishnah. And Rabbi Kiva is when Mishi Kappa. But on that says the Gemara, you have to amend that brisa now. The Chum actually hold, they have to add on the word v'yikapa. Yain mishayir l'bar v'yikapa. Wine is when the wine falls into the cistern and it floats to the top. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, mishayishal b'chavius, a different opinion, not like it says over there, mishayikapa. Actually, mishayikapa is part of the opinion of the Chacham. Rabbi Kiva says, when you come and you take it out from the pit to put into it, that you put into barrels, and says, Tesis, based on that, now the resolution of the first question that started off this daf is that the Mishnah Masechtas Maestris that says that even though it flows to the top, that Mishnah that we inferred that obviously it's Kippur Debar, that it's a floating to the top of the pit that makes it into wine, obviously that Mishnah is going like Drabbanan, not like Rabbi Kiva. So that's where the Gemara then comes back to the question then. So then Ve'el Masnitin. So can we understand who's the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Maestris? Not like we said before, Rabbi Kiva. To the contrary, it's Drabbanan, because we're saying that they're the ones who say that wine is only when it falls into the pit and Mishiyakapa. Rabbi Kiva is a later stage of when you're taking it out to put into barrels. So that's how we have to explain that brisa based on the brisa we just quoted now. But Ve'el Masnitin. But then back to our Mishnah here in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, the Tanya that we learned, Eino Oisa Yayin Nesach. You cannot make the wine into Yayin Nesach. I mean, it's not considered wine yet to be Menasechid, to make it into Avodah Zarah, Achi Yerid Labar, until it falls into the pit, into the cistern. But the inference is, once it goes into the bar, even though it wasn't Mekapa, even though the pieces didn't separate yet, it's considered wine. So Lema, let's say that just like our Mishnah taught regarding Yayin Nesach, so too, meaning that's when they consider wine. Same thing would be regarding the laws of Maestris. Once it's considered wine. Then it comes out that our Mishnah is disagreeing both with Rabbanan and Rabbi Kiva. So should we say Tlasa Tanoihi that it's a three-way machlokes Tanoim? Tana Avraham Mishnah holds when is it considered wine from when it falls into the cistern. The Rabbanan hold, as we just quoted before in the Brisa, as we had to amend that earlier Brisa, when it falls into the pit and Mishi Kapa Babar when it floats to the top. And Rabbi Kiva is even a later stage, it's only wine when Mishi Shal B'chabis, when you go and you're pulling it out from the pit, from the bar, to put it into the barrels. Do we have to say it's a three machlokes tanaim? So the Gemara Loi, no. You could say Shani Yayin Nesach, and this is actually resolving the question that we start off the daf with, that no, Yayin Nesach is different than Chmiri B'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were more stringent. And therefore they said, like in our Mishnah, that even once it just falls into the bar, it's already going to be Aser. But regarding the laws of Maestras, they weren't as stringent. And there you could say, either like the Rabbanan, when it's only Mishnah Yikapo, or like Rabbi Kiva, when it's Mishal Bechavius, and therefore that resolves the first question we started off with. Although our Mishnah says with Mishnah Labar, and there it says in Masechtas Maestras Mishnah Yikapo, that's not a difficulty, because yeah, that is when it becomes wine, Mishnah Yikapo. But regarding Abay Dezara, they were more Machma. However, the Gemara points out, as we continue to Medbeis, but a Larava, the Loishani, according to Rava, that does not differentiate between Maestras and Abay Dezara, as we're answering now, because in the fact, he's the one that asked the question from that Mishnah Masechtas Maestros on our Mishnah of Yayin Nesach. And what did Rava answer? He didn't answer that, oh, because they're different. He had a different answer. Obviously, because he wanted to say that's like Rav Kiva and that's like Rabbanan. So obviously he doesn't differentiate, because if he did, he would just say, Shani Yayin Nesach, Nachmir Be'Rabbanan. So obviously, says the Gemara, according to him, Mukim Lit Kitlasa Tanoi, you obviously have to say that it's going to be a three Machlokes Tanoim, because you can't say the Tana of a Mishnah is like one of those two Tanoim, because he doesn't differentiate between Maestras and Yayin Nesach, and therefore, if it's wine here, it's the wine there, it must be three different opinions. Our Mishnah is saying once it falls into the pit, the Rabbanan over there are saying that when it's Mishi Kapi in the bar, and Rabbi Kiva is Mishi Shal B'Chavius. Now the Gemara continues from our Mishnah. And Mishnah said, okay, so Masha B'Boy Aser, or whatever's in the pit, if then the non-Jew goes and sticks his hands in it, so then already it's going to have the laws of Yayin Nesach, then it becomes forbidden, because then it's already considered wine. Vashar Mukta, but the rest of the wine, what's still in the wine press, that's going to be permitted. Now, on that qualifies the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna. He says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that whatever's still in the wine press is permitted, Elish Lehichzer Gargusni Lagas. Only if this Gargusni, which is a large basket, which they would tie like a filter at the edge of the pipe where it would go from the wine press through this pipe into the cistern. So at the edge of that pipe before it falls into the cistern, there was this large basket that they tied in over there so that whatever wine was flowing from the pipe in there would go through and be filtered from all the pits and the peels. So only if they didn't take where it gathers a bunch of pieces over there where they could go still and bring it back to the wine press to squeeze it out again. That's only if they did not bring that pile from the Gargusni back onto the wine press. Avol hichzi Gargusni legas, but if they went and they brought that Gargusni, that big basket, back to the wine press, then usser, then whatever is inside even the wine press is also going to be forbidden. So on that has the Gemara, Gargusni gufa, but the basket itself, the my komitzro, how did it become forbidden? Whatever is inside of it, to then say, okay, now that you brought it back to the wine press, so now whatever's in the wine press is also going to be forbidden. How did that become forbidden? Must be benitzuk, meaning with the flow that was coming out from the basket into the cistern. So that flow was attaching whatever's in the basket to the yayin nesach that's in the pit, because we say whatever's in the pit is considered yayin nesach. So it must be that flow is connecting what it's on top, which is the gargusni, and what's on the bottom, which is the yayin nesach. Says, and then therefore that became us. And now if you bring that back to the wine press, everything is going to be us. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Shema Mino, what we can infer from this teaching is that Nitzuk Chibur must be that a flow is a connector, which later on the Gemara in Dafayin Beis and Beis says it's a machlaikis. But based on what we're saying, seems to be is telling us that Nitzuk is a Chibur. Says the Gemara, no. Could the Tan Reb Chia, the halacha could be based on what Reb Chia taught in the Braisa, Shepchasasai Tzluchisai. Which this is the Gemara later on, Perkaseicha Dafayin Beis Mabeis. But there the Gemara is talking about halacha. If someone takes a funnel and he measures wine into a jug of a non-Jew, and if the non-Jew's wine that he fills up all the way to the top, and that it touches the bottom of the Jew's funnel, if the Jew goes now and he measures now wine into a Jew's jug, if there's some wine that's left inside the funnel, the Jew's wine is going to be aser now. Why? Because since when he filled up the non-Jew's wine it filled up that it actually touched the funnel, so it actually touched it, so now there's Yayin Nesach in it, so any droplet is Yayin Nesach, is going to make the Jews' wine forbidden now, unlike what the Gemara assumes over there initially, that it's because of Nitzich Chibur. No, it's because it actually touched the funnel, says Gemara, here we can say the same thing. It's because the cistern was filled up until there was so much wine that it touched the gargusni, touched the bottom of the gargusni. That's why it became aser. And that's why Rifun is qualifying and saying if you put it back onto the wine press, that now all that grapes and wine is going to be aser too, but not because of nitzuchi, but we could say just because it touched the bottom of the gargusni. Now, continuing on the theme of the previous stuff and the halacha of our Mishnah regarding pressing wine with a non-Jew, the Gemara tells us Ahu Yenukud was a child, the Tana Vitzkechav Mishis Shni. He had learned Mesechtes Avodah Zarah at age 6. And Bayim, they asked the following question from him. Mao Lidreich Imo Evikechav Magas. What's the law? Can one press, that's what they do, they fill up a pile of grapes inside this press, and they would step on it. So could a Jew press the grapes with a non-Jew in the wine press? Amalhu said to them, Derchin Imo Evikechav Magas. One is allowed to press the grapes with the non-Jew in the wine press. On that, they asked him, problem is, but the non-Jew, as they're pressing the grapes, is going to be doing a libation with his hands for his Avodah Zarah, which, as we taught in the previous daf, the Mishnah Achreina, we had said there was initial teaching of this law and the later teaching of this law, retracted and said that no, ein darchin, you're not allowed to press the grapes with the non-Jew, as the Gemara had explained, like Rav Huna, because the moment it starts moving, it's already considered wine, even in the wine press. So how can you say that a Jew is allowed to press the grapes with the non-Jew in the wine press? So the child answered, "The tzayar nulu liyade." What I was talking about was if they tie the hands of the non-Jew, so he can't do a libation, he can't move around the grapes because his hands are tied. That's when they say he's allowed to. You're right. If his hands are not tied, then it would be problematic because he would then move some of the grapes with his hands, and that juice would become yayin nesach, and the Jew would be assisting in that. That would be forbidden. But here we're talking about where it's his hands are tied. So on that they asked him, but he's going to be doing a libation with his feet. When he's pressing the grapes, the Jews are going to be coming out and he's going to be stepping in and saying, I'm moving this for the purposes of my deity, of my idol. And then the Jews can benefiting from that. That should be forbidden. So on that the child answered, Nisach de regal loish me nisach. No, the libations of the foot is not considered a libation. It's not considered a service of Avodah Zarah. It has to be done with the hands. And therefore the Jew, if the non-Jew's hands are tied, can do the dricha of the gas together with the non-Jew. A similar type of a story, the Gemara tells, Ahu uvda, the haben arda. There was a certain incident in arda, the dasher Yisrael v'ev kachavim lo chamer, that was a Jew and a non-Jew whose hands were tied, that went and pressed the certain wine from the grapes together. Now, v'shi yushmul tlasarigli, and Shmuel delayed resolving the question of the status of that wine for 3 yom tovim, where all the rabbis would gather to hear the lecture on Pesach, and Shavuos on the halachas of Shavuos, and the Sukkot the halachas of Sukkot. He delayed the answer for 3 yom tovim to get a good answer on this question. That has to come on my time. Why did he delay? If it's because he thought, as we continue to have a Zayin Min Alf, that he was thinking, because based on what we said before, there shouldn't be any problem. What should be the problem with this pressing? His hands were tied and there's no nisach berego. That you're saying because maybe Shmuel was thinking, maybe I'm going to find a Tana that says like Reb Nosson, where that the wine is going to be prohibited to even have benefit from it, with just the touching of a non-Jew, even though you're right, there was no nisuch v'avodah zarah, because like we said, nisuch, libation is only when he moves it with his hands, and here his hands are tied, and that Shmuel was thinking, no, maybe it is going to be prohibited, because there is an opinion of Reb Nosson, as we're going to shortly quote, that says it is prohibited even for benefit, which would make it forbidden for the Jew to do it with the non-Jew, even if it wasn't done with the hands. And therefore, he was thinking, "Aisrini afilabano, I'm going to make this wine prohibited even from having any benefit from it." The Tanya, like, alert in the Brisa, so what's this Reb Nosson? Which he was thinking, maybe I'm going to find someone who says like Reb Nosson. Madadu, if a non-Jew measured the wine of a Jew, so the Tanakama says, Bein biyad, whether he measures it with his hand, meaning that he sticks his hand and his arm into the wine to measure how much wine there is, just like we do with certain sticks, so the non-Jew does it with his hand, or Bein biregla, or maybe he sticks in his foot and he knows from his foot how much wine there is. So the Tanakama says, Yimacher. So he could sell the wine. Now, drinking, the Rishonim explained, is problematic because of a different halach of chasnas, of intermarriage. But regarding the laws of Yayin Nesach, that says the Talmud Chacham, there's no problem because his intention wasn't to do any libations. He's busy measuring for the purposes of knowing how much wine there is. So you could sell it. Reb Nosson, he disagrees. He says, no, b'yad aser. If it's done by the hand, it's going to be forbidden even to have benefit from it. Because even though his intention was not for that, still, there's a stringency regarding Yayin Nesach that it's forbidden. But regal mutter, but done with the foot, so then it's permitted. So on that, says the Gemara, if that was Shmuel's intention of delaying, maybe he's going to find a Tana that says that it's actually going to be even aser b'hano, like Reb Nosson, and therefore this wine is going to be problematic, even though his hand was tied behind his back. On that, has the Gemara, but aim under Reb Nosson, but you just read the Brisa. When did Reb Nosson say that the wine's going to be also even for benefit? That's biyad. That's if he did it with his hand. Peregel miyamer, if it's with his feet, did he say that? The incident that we spoke about over there in Arda was when he was only doing it with his feet. His hands were tied behind his back. So forget about nisach, he didn't even touch it with his hands. So what was he delaying for? Elarela says the Gemara, why he was delaying was the opposite extreme. Not to find the stringency that maybe it's even only asa b'hano. It was the other way. Because maybe I'm going to find a Tana who permits Kirib Shimon, who he permits when the non-Jew touches, if his intention was not for Nisach, that Isharye Afila Bishtia, that I'm going to permit it not only for benefit, but even for the wine now that was pressed by the two of them, for it to even to be drunk. As the Mishnah teaches later on the Samach Mabez, that if a non-Jew falls into a pit, and again his intention was nothing to do with Nisach, Reb Shimon permits it even for the drinking of that wine. That's why he delayed. But again, as we said in the previous discussion, Nisach is only with the hands, not with the feet. Now, additionally, there are certain laws that apply to the touching, and that says the Gemara, touching would only be with the hands, with the feet. Even Reb Nosson doesn't say that, and therefore we must say that the halacha was that he was waiting for Reb Shimon, that there, even when the touching of a non-Jew, not only is it mutar b'hanah, but he says he's even mutar b'shtiyah, and that's why he was delaying to see maybe he could not only permit it for benefit, but even permit it for the drinking purposes of that wine that was not done for nisach, because the hands were tied, and at most was touched, and Reb Shimon says that's mutar even b'shtiyah if his intention was not for avodah zarah purposes.